kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'd like to discuss and share with you today, and our teaching today is The Cross Reveals I'm Not My Own. The Cross Reveals I'm Not My Own. And I'd like to pick this up from 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. And he says here, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, "The Cross Reveals I'm Not My Own." Now, of course, this cuts right across that independence that we like. It cuts right across where we want to do what we want to do, and I shall be responsible for my own actions and so on. But of course, it says quite the opposite. Part of the new birth's experience is that realization and revelation that I have been bought with a price. And because it has taken the blood of the Lamb in which to purchase me, as is revealed here, and you are not your own. And I believe that only the cross that we too are to take up daily and follow the Lord can really begin to work this realization. But there is also another reason why the apostle raises this, that God has purchased us. We are not our own anymore. We have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Because the warnings are shown to us in verses 15 to 20, which we'll just read quickly from verses 15 to 20 of the same chapter of 1 Corinthians 6. And it says here, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." So of course we get the analogy of the one flesh that becomes in husband and wife when they get married. So we see the spiritual oneness that we have now because we have been purchased. We no longer own ourselves, but we are now joined in covenant with Almighty God as well. So our walk, like in the natural, if you are married, you have to consider your partner, their choices, what they want to do. You have to work it out. There has to be harmony, agreement. So likewise, now we are one with God. We are in covenant with him. We consider his ways, his will in the matter. This is where we get the analogy. And it goes on, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" The emphasis, of course, here is to flee adultery. Flee where you will break that one flesh, that unity That's, of course, in the flesh, in the natural. And we bring that over into the spiritual, because in the spiritual we can still do the same. And what causes us to commit these spiritual sins? Well, it is idolatry. And that is why God came so heavily on the children of Israel, because he was trying to wean out of their hearts idolatry. And idolatry is to be found in the world, and the world always ministers to the flesh, the will. And so we need to have that understanding to be able to overcome the weakness of the flesh, to overcome our wills, our emotions, our feelings. We have to learn that we are not our own. We have been purchased. We have been brought with a price. We are waiting now, the church, for marriage. That's going to be the next great event, when we're snatched and caught away, and we will be caught up in the clouds with the Lord. And for that 7-year period, while there is the tribulation and the great tribulation, there will be the marriage feast of the overcomers. But until then, we walk by faith and not by sight. So you see, we glorify God with our spirit and our body, our whole being. God is interested in the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. We have an emphasis today in teaching where God is only, they say, concerned about the spiritual side of you. Well, of course, he is, and that is vitally important. But you have to take the whole of Scripture. God is also interested in the body, our flesh. And therefore, if God is interested in the flesh, he has also provided for our flesh, for our bodies. And he has provided healing, because it is in the atonement. Otherwise, why did Jesus heal bodies? Why did the early church heal bodies? Why did the disciples heal bodies if it's not so important? We've lost sight of that today, because of hardness of heart, unbelief, where we so now rely on medical science. But we're going to find that medical science is starting to let us down, because that too can become idolatry. We have to trust God and always turn to him first and wait on him in everything for leading and guidance. You see, there's no other way in this that this can be achieved. It's, you see, the cross that we take up, I spoke this last week, is not something that you accidentally fall upon, or it sounds a good idea. We too, who are to take up our cross, just like Jesus did, Jesus chose to go the way of the cross, because that was the will of his Father. And we too choose to go the way of the cross, because it is the will of our Heavenly Father that we do so. It is a deliberate act. Now you see, the Holy Spirit's come. He's come to make this possible. Because we could say to ourselves, well, how do I crucify myself? I mean, how does this actually work? Well, we showed the analogy of the cross, where a victim and our Lord himself was literally separated from the world and placed on that wooden cross with two nails in his hand and a nail in his two feet. So it speaks of that separation. It speaks of where the world is not controlling me. Now, of course, a cross is not a good sight. It's something in the natural to be ashamed of. A cross was a curse. A cross was where the worst of libertines was put on, the worst murderers, the reprobates. That's what Jesus was identifying with. And so the same spiritually, the cross with us, the world will hate that cross. They will despise us. They won't like us bearing our cross each day, which is death to the self-life. That independent spirit is where I put my will before God's will. And only the cross that we bear daily can deal with that. And that is why the power of the Holy Spirit comes to make it possible. And it will always be an experience. Don't try and crucify yourself. Just settle the cross in your life and you will watch the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He knows what he's doing. He has come to empower us so that we decrease, that Christ increase in us. That is the whole purpose of the deeper life. And he makes this real. He'll make it a reality. He makes the cross a reality to us, as it was with our Saviour himself, who literally had to take it up to physically die. Well, we take it up where we spiritually, where we, in our flesh, that is, the flesh side of us, God crucifies. You say to me, what are you talking about there? Well, let's take the tongue for a start. Where we sin with the tongue, we say things that we regret. Well, this is where the cross will come in. The cross will help you to keep your mouth shut. God very often speaks through what we don't say. And we all want to have our say. We all want to put people right and so on. It's just natural within us. See, the Lord didn't do that. The Lord never judged. People actually, judge themselves by the exposure of sin when they were confronted with the Lord. They had two choices, to either yield and bow down and worship him or resist him and walk away. And it's interesting that Jesus never ran after them and compelled them or tried to persuade them to come back. He didn't. He never did that. Because he was a man of prayer. He knew where the power of God lied. It was in prayer and intercession. And it's the same with us. And we find that there are those who walk away from us. We find that we may have been in fellowship for a long, long, long time and suddenly find they no longer are with you or want to walk with the Lord anymore. And we've all tried to help or try to get them back or whatever it is to none avail, because we need to get on our knees and pray and supplicate that God will not give up on them, that he will have mercy. That is where the power lies. You see, we have to accept that some believers have to just be saved by the skin of their teeth. They're going to lose their rewards, but they will just make it into the kingdom of heaven. We have to accept that that happens. That is a reality. But the point is that they are saved, and that is the most important thing. But the cross will also work on our affections. We too often have affections in the wrong place, on the wrong things. We can have too much affection on our house, our car, our garden. We can have too much affection on our husband, our wife, or our family. You can just go on. And so the cross will work that death, where we're not held by these things. Because all the while we are held by these affections, the enemy has access. And he can control us with his devilish work. And we all know this because we've all experienced it. So the cross, which is good news, comes to be able to deliver us from being controlled by the powers of darkness, manipulated. You know, the enemy is so good at blackmailing us. He's so good at trying to make bargains with us, trying to make it look very appealing and so on. He's very cunning, he's clever, and the cross delivers us from all of that when we don't listen to him anymore. But the good news is you're never on your own with this, with the cross. Even though you're the one that takes it up daily and you follow him, yet you are not on your own with this. And even Christ, when he was on the cross, he wasn't on his own. It felt as though he was, because he cried out and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what he was experiencing in his flesh as he was about to die. But he wasn't on his own, because his Father raised him up in power and glory. And it is the same with us. Even though we bear our cross daily, God is still with us, and he will help us. He will keep us on there. He will work that deliverance. We're not on our own, even though in our flesh at times we feel as though we are. And that's why it's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to do this on our behalf. Well, let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at Matthew 28 and verse 19. Now, I'm bringing this up here because the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit, is what equips us for ministry. The cross, the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, enables God to be able to send us in whatever he wants us to do. And I want to encourage you in this. For example, in Matthew 28 and verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The disciples were no good because they had forsaken the Lord. They said they would be with him, they would not forsake him, but in his hour of need in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fled him. And not only that, they betrayed him. But God restored them. And he said, wait, because you're going to be empowered. I'm going to make the reality of my life, my victory, real in your life. You need that empowerment. You have seen in your own flesh, you can't do it. You're incapable. But when we receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we are receiving Christ himself, who will now take over. And to do that, it requires the baptism of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and the cross that we take up daily and follow him, so that the cross deals with that self-independent life, so that the Spirit of God can work it through us. And when they had received in the upper room the power of the Holy Spirit, we all know the story well, Pentecost, they were then ready to go. Because he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Note what he says there. He says, go. So he gives that permission to go, because they're now empowered. He's now living in them. They now are experiencing that they don't belong to themselves anymore. They have been bought with a price. Therefore, they go on his will and command. And he says, make disciples of all the nations. Not making a Methodist, a Baptist, or someone religious. No, he says, you make disciples of Christ. And you have to have that understanding of discipleship if ever you are going to be empowered to make a disciple. In other words, a follower like you. That is the power he has given to the Christian church. And we have failed that miserably over the centuries. Why? Because we've lost the power of the Holy Spirit. We've lost the experience of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And religion cannot do this. And then, of course, water baptism, which is an observation of going down into his death and up into his resurrection, and so on. So we are commissioned to make disciples. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. And this is where evangelism at times goes so desperately wrong. Because all evangelism does is want to see converts, see as many that will respond to the message, and then they've got the helpers and the workers, and then they push them all off into different denominations. That's not making disciples. What does it say in Luke 24? Let's look at Luke 24 and verse 49. Hear what he says here. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So he says, the promise of my Father. That's why we cry out, Abba, Father. We have a revelation of who he is through Jesus Christ. But he says, tarry, wait, that you will be endued with the power from on high. And of course, we know what that Greek word is. It means dunamis, which we get that word dynamite. That dynamite power from on high to take over in your life and my life. And I believe the church is being restored back. The remnant whom God is calling out now in these last days, who want to go on back into restoration as the church should be, we are being empowered for the last day, for the outpouring of the latter rain before the rapture. I believe that that is coming shortly. It's to be experienced again, to be restored by the Holy Spirit. Of course, looking at all of this, we've seen how pretty active the powers of darkness have been. The powers of darkness have always tried to divide Christ's body. But they're failing now. Because we no longer are being deceived by this anymore. God has opened our eyes and ears and heart. He's now empowered us by the Holy Spirit. We're seeing how God restores the unity and oneness back in the body of Christ. And he does it what? Through the cross. Because the cross is the centre of the Christian message and gospel. It is foolishness to the world, but it is the wisdom and mind of God to us, to man who are saved. Don't ever try and work out God's ways. You never will. Just move with them. They will never ever make any sense, but just move in faith and obedience and you watch the wisdom of mind of God, how it unfolds and is seen. What does it say in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He says here, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And there was the revelation now that the gospel was no longer just for Israel, the Jews, but it was to go to the ends of the earth. Praise God, it is going to the ends of the earth. We are seeing this because the gospel is so important to get out, but I believe there is still so much more to be experienced and seen. And this is why God owns us now. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit in many ways is an extension of yourself. It's like you stand aside and see what's working through you. That's the only analogy I can give in this. That when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's like an extension, it's part of you. And it's like if you stand aside, you'll see what's working through you. Now, I can identify with that because I'll tell you something. For many years, I couldn't listen to myself preach. I couldn't listen to the recordings. I don't know why. It just didn't happen. It didn't really appeal to me, and so on. It has only been this last couple of years that I've been able now to listen to myself preach. And the only experience I can say is it's like I stand aside and I see something that works through me that I can't do. And of course, I believe that to be the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is what I'm meaning. When God works through you, when he asks of you to do whatever he's going to do, you can't fully work it out. It's not until you listen or you watch or if it's recorded, you are aware that there is a power, an extension that works through you. And that is what I'm trying to say. That is the experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the early church, when the book of Acts, they knew what I'm talking about here. They knew that power that went from them when they laid hands on the sick and they recovered, or the crippled rose up and walked. They saw that as an extension, a power working through them. And that is what it is. It's Christ in you doing the works. He's come back. He's still alive. And the world sees it when we, in faith and obedience, do what he asks of us. Then the world sees this. And that is why we don't want to take the glory. That is why we don't want to take the thanks. That is why we always point them to the one who has done this. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive today. And this is why idolatry, this is why self has to be dealt with, to be delivered. And only the cross can do this. My friends, the cross is the key to the greater works. The cross is the key where God will use your hands to heal the sick, to raise the dead. It is only the cross that can do it. And if we are willing to take it up daily and follow him, there is nothing else. It is only the cross that can deal with that, that can do that. And this is where we have to trust the power of the Spirit of God to do that work. And then you will begin to see what God can and he will do through us, both individually and corporately. And this is where we give him all the praise and all the glory. I believe the church is desperate to start to see the greater works. She is coming to that right place where she needs it. It's a help, it's an encouragement. But all above all, it's light to this dying world that is so godless. I believe the conditions are getting right now for the greater works, the latter rain outpouring to come. And sadly, this is why so few understand discipleship. Because it's never really taught. Their understanding is, if I'm a church member or I belong to this denomination or whatever it is, that's good enough. But it isn't. It isn't. It is disciples. It is those who put their hands to the plough and don't look back and go forward. They're the ones that can and will be used in these last days. Hallelujah. That's why he says in Luke 14, verse 26, Luke 14 and verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. And then it speaks about sitting down. Do you want this? Are you prepared for this? Have you got enough for this to build? You see, God doesn't force us. You see, if somebody doesn't understand this, and there are a lot that don't, then they're not really experiencing Christ in them, the hope of glory. Because these verses here deal with the self-life. It deals with what takes our time. It deals with what robs us of our time with God. That is what it's dealing here. And that's why we're to hate the alternative. We don't literally hate them. Of course we don't. But we hate the alternative where we're forced, or we have to make a decision between putting family first or God first. There is no decision. If you bear the cross, it is always going to be God first. Period. Just settle it. Doesn't matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter how upset they're getting. Doesn't matter whether they go into a sulk or whatever it is. They'll get over it. As long as we put God first. That is all that matters. That is what we live for. Why? Because we're not our own. We have been bought with a price. You see, there are still Christians who still prefer to spend more time with family, their careers, their hobbies, their jobs, or whatever it is, than really their time with the Lord. You see, you have to learn, brothers and sisters, and if you've not learnt this or you've not had it revealed to you yet, you will, but you will find God is very jealous over you. Very jealous. And he has every right to be jealous over you because he's bought you with a price. He has paid what is impossible in the natural to purchase you and I. It could never be achieved in any other way. It's impossible. Man has fallen too far into sin. But he has purchased that. He has paid the price for that. His life. And we now belong to him. And if you haven't, you will experience his jealousy. He's very jealous over us, and he's not going to let us have any other lovers. And lovers are idols, and they can be virtually anything. And that's why Jesus said, you cannot otherwise be my disciples. You see, the Lord through the cross makes his very own possession. The cross has purchased us, and we are now his possession. It had to take the cross in which to do that. There was no other way. The cross gave Christ his family. You see, the Father gave Jesus seed, and he said to his son, go and reap. Go and reap a harvest. I'm going to give you a harvest. But the only way he could receive that harvest and be the shepherd of the flock, it had to take the cross. And it is exactly the same with us. He has given us a harvest. He has given us a seed as well. And he says to us, now go and reap it. But the only way it will be reaped is by the cross that we too take up daily and follow him. What happened to Jesus happens to us. What Jesus went through is what we go through. What was Jesus' experiences is our experiences as well. There's no difference. You see, when you understand this, when you are experiencing the cross in your life, you're going to realize that discipleship is not in doing, but in being. It is what he has made you. You see, somebody who's royal, born into royalty, doesn't try to be royal. They are. They are by birth. And so it is exactly the same with you. You don't have to try at this. You don't have to try at being a Christian. You don't have to try at being good or whatever it is. If you are, and you are truly a new creation in Christ, then that is what he has made you. You are royal. You are royalty. You are a royal priesthood. You don't have to try to be that. You are by the new birth. And so it's not doing works, it's first being. And being before God is also a sign of authority. God, through the new birth, through now being a royal, you have that authority. And the enemy knows it, and this is why he tries to attack you and to stop you. You have authority, and authority over the powers of darkness. And this is why he has given you authority, that what you bind on earth, you bind in heaven, and what you loosen on earth, you loosen in heaven. That is given to royals. That is their authority here on earth. And that is why I am his, and he accomplishes his will and work through me. That is the reason. He accomplishes his work, his will through me, as I take up that cross daily and I follow him. Now the question as I close, brothers and sisters, is the cross that I take up daily revealing I am not my own? I have been bought with a price, and he has placed upon me royalty. He has placed upon me an authority. And that is why I decrease that he increases. This is sonship, brothers and sisters. This is what it means to grow up now into maturity, into fullness with Christ. That is the work he's doing with us. And the key to it is the cross that I too take up daily and follow. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that only you can open our eyes and ears and heart. Only you can reveal what we are in Christ. Father, may these words that we've heard today be reality, be an experience, be fruit in our lives. There is a world out there, Father, that is dying. But Lord, they have need of, before judgment falls, of seeing God's glory, mercy and grace. And where should it be seen but none other than in the house of God? Because you have made us a light. You have made us a beacon. And that light is to shine in this world of darkness. That light is to show paths that lead to Christ. That light is to open up the word of God, that the deaf and the blind may hear and see. Father, help us to accomplish this. Lord, may we experience that authority that you give us to go and to make disciples. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you, Lord, you will empower us. You will give us the words. You will place that healing and deliverance in our hands. We will go forth and cast out the demons, raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, and that the lame may walk. It's not about us. It's about what you have placed within us. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, Father, we don't want to fail in this. We want to be used. We're here. We're waiting on you, Lord.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.